I want to read this scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 13. It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Stand. Stand." Sister Janice said that this morning about standing. But the title of my message is Resisting But Not Submitted. Resisting but not submitted. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you this afternoon for your presence, your anointing. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that the words that I will speak will be your words, that they will edify, that they will bless, that they will encourage, that they will exhort. Hallelujah. Lord, fill this sanctuary right now with your anointing. Break every chain. Hallelujah. Focus every heart. Prepare good soil. We thank you and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Stand." But now you may sit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's been a long, almost 20 months, 24 months of this COVID thing, and it just seems that we've been in a fight. Apart from all the other issues of life, it's just been a fight. See, I was hoping by now the Lord would come and just make it all easy for me, and I wouldn't have to be struggling and still fighting. But you know what? God is so merciful and gracious. He would that none be lost. And because of that, he's waiting for the last person who will turn to him in faith. He's waiting for someone who will acknowledge him. And so he's not listening to me. If it was up to me, he could come right now. That would just get me out of a lot of stuff. Amen. My mortgage is 20-something, 20-50-something. I don't know. Amen. I'm not looking to pay that mortgage off. I'm not looking to pay some of the things off. I'm looking to be out of here. Amen. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian church, was telling them, giving them some principles how they could stand, how they could fight in this evil day. He calls it in the evil day. If this isn't an evil day, I don't know what is. There's so many things coming into our lives to drag us down, to discourage us, to give us depression, to make us want to give up. But he's giving here in Ephesians, especially this chapter 6, some things to enable us to stand, to enable us to fight. We are commanded to resist the devil. Did you know that? The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And it seems so simple, but there's more to it. We are commanded to withstand the devil. We can't just give in to everything he throws at us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." If you ever watch these documentaries on lions, they don't go for the strongest animal. They go around the herd looking for the stragglers. They're looking for the weak ones. They're looking for the ones that hang back. He is seeking whom he may devour. I keep telling that little goat, "Why don't you get in the middle? Run to the middle. Don't stay on the outside. Don't you know he's coming? Can't you see him hiding in the grass?" I'm telling you today, you need to run to the middle. Don't stay on the outside. Don't stay on the outside. Because you know that's who he gets. He can't get to the ones in the middle. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That tells me he can't devour everybody. Whom resist. The Bible is telling us today we got to resist him. Sometimes it seems to take such an effort. It takes such a fight. But the Bible says, "Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." What he's telling us, listen, you're not in this fight alone. The trouble you're going through, the pain you're going through, the temptation you're going through, you're not alone. You're not alone. In fact, there was a scripture that my wife read to me about Paul and how he ended up weeping, And I, for some reason, I just didn't consider Paul to be sitting there weeping. But when she read the scripture to me, it just hit me, you know, well, I don't feel too bad now if I weep. Because the great apostle Paul, there was a time when he had to weep because some of the things he was going through. It said, and it wasn't outside, it was people inside. It's the people inside made him weep. But we are commanded to resist the devil. You know, but what happens oft time is we don't. There are areas in our lives where we give up and we let him in. We just don't fight very hard in those areas. This happened to Israel time and time again. Even though they were God's chosen people, even though you are God's chosen, even though you are his beloved, if you will give the devil a little gap in your armor, he will come in and devour you. He will depress you. He will take you down. He will take away your joy. He will make you think it's over. He'll make you think God does not love you. He'll make you think it's hopeless. This is what happened to Israel, even when God had blessed them. And in fact, the things that happened to Israel, their greatest downfall was just after their greatest victory. You see, it's when they had forsaken God, when their leadership had turned to idols, that's when things started to happen. That's when the negative things started to come into their system. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 3, we read the story of Israel. They had just taken Jericho, the city that they thought they could not take, the city that was 60 feet high and the walls were 20 feet wide. And God had given them a miraculous victory. They didn't even really fight. All they did was worship. They marched around the city 7 times, and at the last 7 times they gave a shout and the walls came down. And the Bible said they ascended and they took that whole city, probably not even losing one person. They had such a great victory. Have you experienced a great victory only to be met with a small defeat? See, it's after your great victories that you have to be careful, for the devil, he wants to come and take away your joy. Pull the rug from under you. So after getting Jericho, there was this little small town called Ai that only had a few thousand people, only probably was about a 20th of the size of Jericho. So in Joshua 7:3, the advisors came to Joshua and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go. Now that was out of an army of maybe 200,000. Ai was so small, it wasn't even worth bothering. Just send one division. Just send about 3,000 men, Joshua. So they went up thither, the people, about 3,000 men. But they fled before the men of Ai. Something went terribly wrong with Israel. They could not, in this case, stand. They could not withstand this little tiny city after they had been victorious in Jericho. Because something had happened. Something had happened. In verse 5 it says, and the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men. They lost more men taking this little town than taking the whole of Jericho, because something had happened. For they chased them before the gate, even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Sad words now. The hearts of the people melted. After having such a great victory, after having such a great deliverance, Satan will take something little small and you'll say, I don't have to worry about this. It's a little thing. And that's where he'll trip you up. That's where you'll find you get weak. That's where you won't be able to stand. And because of that little thing, all of Israel now became depressed. And they thought, we can't do this. We let this little town trip us up. This little small little village. You see, there was a reason why this happened, why they could not stand. God then revealed to Joshua, you know, somebody has done something they shouldn't have. See, God had told them, because Jericho was the first city in Canaan that they were going to take, that everything in Jericho belonged to him. Did you know that the first of anything belongs to God? Did you know that? That everything that you get, the first of anything you get, belongs to God. God had told him, I'm going to give you Jericho, but it's the first city in all of Canaan. So everything in Jericho belongs to me. But someone could not resist. They saw this bright, shiny piece of gold and they thought, you know what? God's not going to miss this little thing. This is just going to be a little thing. And you know what he did? Achan took that little thing and he hid it in his tent. Sometimes we take little things and we think it's not going to bother us or affect us. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to stop us being able to withstand the big things. He took this little thing and he think, out of all of Jericho, this little bar of gold and these few little garments, that's not going to be anything. What does God need with that anyway? And he took that little thing and he hid it in his tent. And because of that, 36 soldiers died. See, sometimes the reason why we can't stand is because we resisted, but we didn't submit. See, they went to fight Ai. They were resisting Ai, but someone in the camp had not submitted totally to what God wanted. And we find we don't even understand why we're not being able to stand, but there's something that we have not submitted. See, God had said, listen, everything in Jericho belongs to me. The cattle, the gold, everything. And Achan thought, well, you know, God doesn't need any of this. Sometimes we choose presumptuously and tell God what he should get. We make the decision for God what we think fits God. And then we find we can't stand. And we don't understand it. Israel at first had no clue. All they did was got depressed and down because here they were now on their second city. Little itty bitty Ai got defeated. And they said, you know, everyone else is going to hear. They're not going to be scared of us anymore. We're going to have trouble from this point on. Joshua 7:10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing. See, there's sometimes little things that we don't think are accursed. It could not even be a tangible thing. It could be just a little thought that we won't let go of, that we're dwelling on. And that little thing is going to let us get beat at Ai. Instead of going on from Jericho to the next triumph, Israel got whipped by this little city. Because they had let a little thing come into their midst. Verse 11 says, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they put it even among their own stuff. You know, sometimes we think we're an island. Nothing I do is going to affect you.
Oh, yes, it does, Pastor.
But we are one body. All of Israel was affected by just one man's decision. Think about that. All of Israel was affected by one man's decision. You see, the Bible tells us that we are to resist Satan, but we can't do it if we haven't submitted. And most of us, we are resisting. But there was a key word in that very first scripture that I read. It said all. All. See, we can't stand if we don't submit all. If there's one area that we have hidden in our tent, that's an opening for the devil to let us fall. And we think we're strong and we go after Ai with just a few men. And Israel got defeated. And they got so depressed because here they were having such a great victory. God had delivered this huge city of Jericho. And now they went against little Ai and it tripped them up. See, many of us today have difficulty standing. We're wondering why. Why is everything such a fight? Well, the question is, have you submitted all? Not have you submitted some. Have you submitted 90%? No. Have you submitted all? See, God had told him, don't touch anything in the city. Everything that's in there has got to be given to me. It's got to be taken to the tent of meeting. It's got to be dedicated to me. Don't bring it into your house. Don't play with the devil's fire. It's funny how something big, we'll be able to overcome it, and then something small will trip us up. Isn't that strange? You know why? Because we got some little thing that we have not totally submitted. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Sometimes we're not all armored up. Sometimes all we've got is the shield of faith. That's all we got. And that's great. But you got to have, he says, the whole armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In Sunday school, I told a story, I think Friday. I went to pick up something, and I was in a plaza, and someone gave me the finger. And for a moment there, I was tempted to get on the horn and give him something back. Give him something back. But I remember that I'm supposed to have some armor on. So I was about to wave and say, have a good day. Be blessed. See, now, truly, it wasn't him. The Bible tells me who it was. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Some demon was telling him, why don't you take away his peace? Why don't you get him all flustered? You know, give him the finger. Let's see what he does. See, Satan is going to test your sonship. He's going to ask if you be a son of God, if you be a child of the King. Why don't you just cheat a little bit? See, you got to have the whole armor on, or else you're not going to be able to stand. Because what we're wrestling against is not flesh and blood. Verse 13, he says it again. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor. You know when something's repeated twice? You're supposed to take note. When Jesus says, verily, verily, truly, truly, he's saying, listen up. I'm about to reveal something to you. You better be all ears. What the Spirit saith unto the church. If you don't put on your whole armor, that means you've got a place of weakness. You've got a place of weakness. A couple months ago, the women did that Zoom Bible study on the armor of God, right? And some of the things she said were so great, but since some of you men weren't there, one of the things that they do, it says in the scripture, is to put on first having your loins girt about with truth. Do you know why? Because I was moving some people. I moved four people, and one of the people came, and I wasn't, but one of the people came to help me move. They had on one of those back braces. They had their loins girt about. Why? Because it helps you lift. It protects your back. If you don't start to put on the whole armor, you may think, I don't need that belt. It's such a trouble. I've got the faith armor. I've got the sword. But then you try and lift something and oops, something gives, you know? You have to have the whole armor or else in the evil day, you will not be able to stand. Something will trip out. So the Bible says we have to have our loins girt about with truth. Because the truth will help you lift. The truth will help you carry yourself. The truth will help you bear the weight that Satan wants to pile upon you. You got to put on the whole armor. You can't have some gaps. Because if you don't put it on, you'll be able to have everything else. But then the devil will put something on you and you won't be able to carry it. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You ever tried walking on rocks bare feet? Oh, that hurts. You start getting your feet all cut up. When you have the preparation of the gospel of peace, when they give you the finger, you can just go because it's not penetrating. It's not getting under your foot, so to speak. Sometimes we let things get under our feet and we respond in the wrong way. But when you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you can smile sweetly and say, have a nice day. Sorry I offended you. You have a good day. See you later. See, to be able to stand, you can't just have some of the armor. Twice Paul says you got to put on the whole armor. Verse 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He'll send some darts your way to tell you God doesn't love you. It's hopeless. You messed up. You might as well forget it. You might as well quit church. They don't love you. They're all talking bad about you. But if you have that shield of faith, it just goes doom, doom, doom. Now, I know you probably heard this before, but those shields were wooden. Those shields were wooden. And the darts that were sent, now look at this. The Bible doesn't mess around. It says they were fiery darts. Now, how do you think a shield, a wooden shield, is supposed to survive fiery darts? Well, what the Roman soldiers used to do before they went to battle, you all know this, they used to soak the shield. How do you soak the shield? You come to church and the washing of the word builds your faith. The washing of the word speaks to your heart and your shield of faith is getting soaked. So when they send those fiery darts, they just go psh. They can't catch fire. They just go psh. Just so you know, somebody was throwing stuff at you. Psst. See, that's why we can not just resist, but we have to submit. You know, one of the things they do when you get in the army, when they call reveille, they do an inspection. You get in line, and then they inspect you to see if you got all the dress code on. I remember because I used to be where they did that. And they would look at your shoe, and then they'd take a white cloth, and they'd rub your shoe, and then hold it up in your face. And if it wasn't still white, you were in trouble. You see, God didn't put this just for us to read it. It's there for us to do it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall, not maybe, shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, Satan is going to shoot at you. You are in a war. You are under attack. So don't be surprised. Bible said, why do you think it's strange when the fiery tribulation comes? Why do we think it's strange? We're on enemy territory. It'd be strange if he lets us walk around. He must think we're on his side. See, the Bible says that we are not only to withstand, but we got to submit. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible. Without your shield it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. The devil will try and tell you God is not real. He's not listening to you. He has forgotten you. He has left you alone. But you got to tell him, devil, you're a liar. Psh, I've soaked my shield in the word of God. And it's able to quench anything you fire at me. I think all of us here are resisting. But we got to make sure before that we're submitting. See, submitting means to obey. Not me, the word of God. See, we got to make sure that we've got all the weapons on. We've got all the armor on. And that we're submitting so that we can resist. Resisting without submitting is not going to work. It says, take the helmet of salvation, verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, here is the verse that is very important. I'm going to be short today. It says, when you have done all this, then you can stand. Now, do you get it why a lot of us fail to stand? Because we have not done all this. You look at that verse. It says, when you have done all of what? Put on the whole armor. When you have done all of this, then you can stand. And it doesn't matter what Satan does. It says, having done this, then stand. Just stand. You may not be able to go forward, but you can just stand because you've got the armor of God. So the most important words there is when you have done all of this. See, most of us, we will say we're fighting the devil and we will try. But have we done all of this? Have we done all of this? Have we been prayed up? Have we have got our feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace? That means we've got so much joy in God that nothing can just take away our joy. You could give me the finger all day. I'll wave five back at you. See, when we have done all this, then we can stand. If you feel you're not standing, then check your armor. Check your armor. Maybe some of it is worn. Maybe some of it needs replacing. Maybe some of it needs some polishing. Maybe some of your shield needs soaking in the word. Maybe you haven't done the preparation of the gospel. Did you hear what it said? Preparation. You don't get the gospel of peace without preparation. That means you've got your heart at the right place, that when Satan comes to steal your joy, you're prepared. You're prepared. You're ready for him. So you can just count to 10. I see where you're coming, Satan. This isn't going to work. Jesus even said to Peter, Satan, get thee behind me. Because it wasn't Peter. Satan just used him. And Jesus saw right through it. See, most of the time we get mad at people instead of Satan. See, we should get mad at the devil, not people. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's the principalities and power. And if we could see that, we would laugh. We'd go, wow, I almost fell for that. If you could stand with me, I told you this wasn't going to be long. Are you going to submit by standing? When you have done all this, that's the key phrase. We want to stand, we want to fight, but we haven't realized that Paul slipped something in there. He said, when you have done all this, then stand. Then you can stand. Then you can fight. Until then, we've left little gaps. And Satan knows exactly where to aim that fiery dart. People will say the thing that just goes right to the open wound. You know, they could have said anything else, but the one thing they said, ooh. You just have to realize what's happening. You haven't put your armor on. The breastplate of righteousness. You know, this is where the vital organs are. This is where your heart and lungs are. That's why they make flak jackets. This is the part that they make so the bullet can't go. It may hit you and it may wind you, but if you've got your flak jacket on, it won't kill you. When you have the breastplate of righteousness on, that's a flak jacket they can't buy. That's a flak jacket the army hasn't invented yet. That's something that is supernatural. That when Satan comes and throws these stinging darts that would knock you out and take you out of church and kill your soul, it may bounce, you may feel it, but it won't kill you because you're armored up. Paul says, then you can stand. Then you can stand. And he says it twice. He says in verse 11 of Ephesians 6:11, he says, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means he's a trickster. He's a con artist. And then he repeats it again, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, having put on the armor, having done your best, then God's part starts to play out. Once you've done your best, you can say, here, Lord, I've tried my best. I brought you all that I had. I brought you my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I gave you my all. The widow put her mite in the offering. Jesus said, she's given more than any of these other rich dudes. When you have submitted, then you can truly resist. You can't do it the other way. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand. See, there are storms of life that are blowing right now in each of our lives. I doubt there's someone in here is just on Easy Street. Anyone on Easy Street got no issues? I want to come live with you. No matter how you may think looking at me, I have some issues. I have some fights. I have some battles that I have to deal with. And the only way I'm going to do it is if I'm totally submitted. I want to look at every area of my life and say, Lord, is there a place where I have not submitted? And I'm sure there are. I want to correct them. I want God's word to wash me. I want his power to overshadow me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, it says that in weakness, the power of Christ may rest upon me. When we bring our faults and failures, when we acknowledge our weaknesses, that gives God the ability to come in and fill the gaps. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. But when we have done all that we can, then this is going to be filled. That he may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, then we can stand. Hallelujah. This is not a long sermon, but I hope you understand what God is speaking to us. Let's not do like Achan and think we can let a little gap and that it will be okay. If you're having a fight, Check your armor. Check your armor. Hallelujah. This altar is open. We're not going to have a long, long, drawn out thing because God knows our hearts. And if we today will say, Lord, I want to submit totally. I want no area of my life that is not submitted to you. You know what's going to happen? God is going to enable us to stand. Not only that, the Bible says withstand. That means the storm blows and you're still there. All the rest of the house is all torn down, but you're still there. Despite what has come through your life, you're going to be able to stand. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're going to close this service, but not close God's presence. I want you to remember this message today. Take it with you. We need to be able to say that we have done all. And then just stand. Trust God that He's going to get you through the rest of this year. We got 4 months left. We have no idea all the things that may still be ahead of us. But there are some things that we do know, that He has promised us, that we, when we have done all, that we will be able to stand. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you today. Hallelujah. That you're going to enable us to withstand. Oh God, after we have submitted to you all, hallelujah, areas of our lives. Lord, we ask you right now, Jesus, for those who have come down to the altar, Lord God, for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, that you would do a move, a work, Lord God, that you would, oh God, make it plain to us, to speak to us, to let us know, oh God, that Satan and his plans will not succeed. Lord, that we're going to do all that we can. And when we have done all, Lord, you're going to help us to stand.